Quincy City Council President Ian Kane joining us for an update of the February 24th council meeting. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Hey Joe, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Thanks for checking in with us and providing an update. Appreciate that. Missed you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
It has been actually. And we talked about the cancellation of the February 3rd meeting already, so we're not going to go down that
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a road to go down, but I
road.
think like every issue, like we're about to talk about, there's certainly a particular group of people that take every opportunity to turn nothing into a political opportunity to make noise.
How is the council agenda actually set every week? How does that happen?
So every councillor and the mayor has the opportunity to submit a resolution or an ordinance that they'd like put on the agenda. And when it came to the meeting a couple of weeks ago, there was nothing that the councilors or the mayor had to put on the agenda, which rendered the agenda agendaless, and therefore we canceled the meeting.
Got you. Okay. So do you meet with like the clerk beforehand to schedule that? How does that work?
Yes. So, in fact, we've got a call out for before every meeting, we have an agenda meeting the Wednesday prior to the Monday meeting, so we can distribute the final agenda publicly by Friday. And so, we put out a call for anything that anyone would like to put on the agenda, and that's usually completed by Tuesday afternoon before we go to the agenda meeting on Wednesday, which is the mayor, myself, the city clerk, the clerk of committees, the chief of staff, and the auditor.
Gotcha. Okay. So if folks want something, say a resident has a concern they want discussed, they should address their ward councilor about that.
Yeah, I mean that's how it works. If it comes up, I mean that's how it works anyway. If a resident has an issue, they reach out to their ward councilor, which are the councils at large, and it's handled accordingly. But the agenda is for official business. If there's resolutions or ordinances or appropriations, which the council can't put forward, but the mayor puts forward to discuss and approve or
Okay. Yep.
approve.
Right. Yeah. For the committees, Ian, how does the chair of that committee schedule their own committee meetings? They do.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Appreciate
Yeah,
that.
of course. Yeah.
Now on to the meeting last night, the public safety headquarters update.
Yes. Yeah. So, Chris Walker, the mayor's chief of staff, the commissioner of public buildings, Paul Hines, Joe Shea, who is the engineer, lead engineer, I guess, for the public safety headquarters project with his company, Granite City Partners, Steve Crucial from his team as well, and Chief of Police Kennedy came to give an update on the headquarters construction and the progress. Now, the entire update was great to see. I mean, you can see, if you drive down C Street, the progress that's been made on the structure. And this was derived from a series of appropriations that were presented to the council from 2017, starting with feasibility and early design and engineering to the final financial appropriations in 2021 and 2022. The project's going well. It sounds like the building is slated to be opened in October of this year. And so that's exciting to see such a state-of-the-art project for the city that is intended to last the city 100 years, and it's certainly a statement piece. In recent weeks, as you very well know, there was some news, I guess, made in that there were components to this construction in the form of public art that were planned, not originally presented in the budgets that we approved in those years that I just mentioned, that were, a surprise to us, certainly, especially in the way that this art was portrayed in the media. So, the way I understand it, someone slyly sent an anonymous note to the Patriot Ledger. So this was done undercover. This wasn't done with the intention of having a productive conversation about public art or public spaces. This was somebody trying to make a point. And then Peter Blandino from the Patriot Ledger made a story of it. And so, that caught us on the city council off guard, because we weren't aware of it. And so, we had to learn about what was going on. So, the majority of the discussion around this has been, it's very interesting. In 10 years in this role, you develop a sense of what people pay attention to at certain points in time. So you could be talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in financial appropriations that people won't bat an eye, but $850,000 for statues, for public art, all of a sudden riles people up. And then the discussion, took a turn to something about church and state, which I don't know where that necessarily comes from. I understand the connotations that people might have in their perception of these art pieces that are being included in the public safety headquarters. But to take it to that step as if there's a religious institution that's come in to promote, certain qualities, represented in these statues when they are in fact representative and supportive of the people who utilize that building and who, work for our city, work for our residents, and they're meaningful representations of the work that they do. So how I broke it down last night was into three categories. It was, about the public funds being spent on art, especially with the historical and religious connotations, the interpretations of the work themselves, and then the amount of money being spent. Overall, to me, this wasn't an issue about artwork. This was an issue about process and governance. I certainly didn't appreciate being surprised through the Patriot Ledger about something that was taking place that we had already decided on. Yes, this, was certainly within the mayor's purview of making a decision about an item where we approved appropriations for the budget. It's within the budget, and that's within his capacity as the mayor. But it just made us look a little foolish, and I don't appreciate that part of it. But even when you look at the renderings themselves of where the statues, the thing, it was made to sound like these statues were going to be looming, these 3D things over you, and they would be terrifying, but they're ornate. They're actually pretty beautiful. They provide a timeless classic style to a structure that will be with us for a very long time. And so we outlined, last night I outlined some scenarios, not scenarios, but examples of which artwork like this exists in the state. This isn't unprecedented. There are artworks at the State House, there are artworks at the Boston Public Library. And another example that I brought up is there are countless religious adjacent adornments in our public cemeteries, which are taken care of with public money. And I want to always take a broader look at something as opposed to the reactionary nature to most of these issues that come before us, because I don't think we're doing these issues, appropriate thoughtfulness if we're just. If we're just isolating an issue, having an emotional reaction to it, and then having an expectation for a particular outcome, and then being disappointed and similarly emotionally responsive when that outcome doesn't meet particular expectations. So, I thought that my colleagues, were very thoughtful about their comments. Mr. Walker presented the mayor's case, which is, his case to deliver. And as Mr. Walker said, this isn't on us. This is on the mayor. I'm not casting blame or aspersions by any means. But that's just sort of how it went down. For the same reasons that I wish we had known about this from the get-go, I wish that whoever had such deep concerns about this quote unquote church and state issue brought it to our attention in the right manner as well.
But yeah, to your point then about the way the city spends money on public art, does there need to be a change in the process for that, do you think?
I this is the first time an issue like this has come up, and I think art, just like public spending, it's subjective. Everyone's got an opinion. So, I mean, the fact that people have had such visceral reactions to this art, I think that's what art does. Not everyone's going to agree with you in the way that you perceive it. And it's very telling when, I think, when you have such negative reaction to something, as opposed to looking to the deeper meaning of why it was proposed to begin with.
The you may I'm sure you're aware the ACLU has sent the mayor a letter asking that the statues be canceled, and I'll just quote really quickly here from their letter. It conveys the message that Quincy is a Catholic community and that non-Catholics do not belong or are less valued. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel about that. I don't know who those people are. They don't know our community. It's not like they're involved in it. I also outlined where there's been plenty of spending from the city on behalf of religiously adjacent institutions and faith-based institutions and organizations. During COVID, there were, I think, $2.5 million spent on faith-based organizations, supporting those organizations in our community. CPC money, there's been about $3.5 million spent on mostly Protestant. In fact, I think there was only a small allocation for a Catholic church, but mostly Protestant churches. So I don't take any consideration into that letter. I don't know who those people are. I don't know, what gives them standing to write anything to us, really. So they're not members of our community. But again, it's looking at the broader picture, taking everything into consideration, and not looking at this as an isolated issue, to make political noise. But again, as I said, it's process, it's governance, but it's also politics.
So going forward now, Ian, will there be more debate about this or more discussion or more meetings about this?
No.
So it's the funding has been approved. This is not an additional expenditure as part of the overall approval that was already voted on.
As Mr. Walker said last night, this is a done deal. The money was approved before. So if people have additional issues, please direct your comments to the mayor's office.
Okay. All right. Also, the Squantum School was on the agenda last night.
Yep, which it has been. That was a clarification or a Scrivener's error in prior appropriation language. So these are two appropriations that were approved last year that we just had to procedurally reapproved. So it was 1 million and 1.8 million that we had already approved last year that we just reapproved last night. We also had a gift for $500 to DARE. And that was our meeting, Joe.
Very good. And your next meeting,
It March, hold on, I'll tell you. March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Be there.
okay. All right. Anything Ward 3, Ian, we should let folks know about?
What do we got going on in Ward 3? We're excited, I think, for the warmer weather for this Furnace Brook golf course to open. I think that has been that's another thing in the background, that's been very consuming and a great project again for the neighborhood, which I know the residents that I speak with and communicate with are looking forward to its completion. And that's the biggest thing. Otherwise, business as usual.
I know that the police chief had sent out a memo. They're increasing patrols in the Forbes Hill area. Have there been issues up there?
Yeah, young kids, kids in the woods. Tale as old as time, Joe. Nothing new.
And always will be long after us.
Nothing new.
Okay, very good. Appreciate your time, Ian.
All right. Thanks for having me. Talk
All right.
soon.
Talk to you March 4th, if that's okay.
Sounds good.